What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant McCauley joins us on the WadeFort.com hotline. Grant, I saw the headline today, and you were talking about it on your social media. What did the Braves do? Who is this guy from Cuba, and how good is it?
Yeah, it sounds like one of the better international free agents that you can find, especially to headline a class in which I feel like the Braves are, I'm sure, I mean, this is bearing the lead, excited to be able to get back into this pool of players to get the kind of toolsy position players with this kind of upside, the way that Diego Tornes has. I mean, he's a very well put together 16-year-old switch hitter with power, a good arm, good speed, plays great defense. They call him a five-tool player for a reason. You want as many of these guys as you can get. So $2.5 million for a 16-year-old with advanced skills, who knows how quickly he can climb the ladder and maybe affect the big league club.
Yeah, Grant, that was a perfect lead-in to my first question here. Is there a projected timeline that anybody knows about, or is it sort of as fast as he can go, we'll get him potentially to the big leagues?
Yeah, it's just all about development. I mean, you see some of these kids that, you know, the Ronald Acuna Juniors of the world that seem like they're ready at 18, 19 years old, and you see others that it might take them a little while to kind of adapt to the game as they, you know, grow into their body for, one of the many things that they have to do in their development. But I don't think there's any rush just based on the kind of talent that the Braves have at the big league level. They're not really, you know, looking to push their prospects too hard, too fast. But you just like seeing these kind of players come into the system. The Braves are hoping to have themselves a nice international class. I know I've talked about this in the past. I mentioned it to Mike in a couple of messages earlier today. The fact that they can draft their arms and sign their international hitters is really, I feel like, where the Braves want to be from a strategy perspective.
If you're just tuning in, Diego Tornes, Grant's talking about, as Grant just mentioned, five-tool player. Sounds very exciting. Center fielder, and that's awesome. And while we got you on the horn, I saw a video that Ronald Acuna just shot of him taking some BP. So, I mean, it's batting practice. Everybody looks good in BP, but the swing looks good. What should Braves fans expect? We had Alex Anthopoulos on earlier last week. It made it sound like we're going to have to wait a while to see Ronald.
Yeah, I think, like, wait a while, it's subjective. I mean, nobody wants to wait anymore. You want to get him back, and nobody wants to be back out there any sooner or any more so than Ronald Acuna Jr. does. But I think that learning from the experience of going through this before, they just want to make sure that there's not some kind of rush, that it's not, you know, ready, fire, aim, and bringing back one of the best and most important players that the Braves have, and one of the best players in baseball, as we all know. I feel like, realistically speaking, sometime in May would be when I think that we'll really start to pick up steam, whether that means first week of May, middle of May. That's what Alex has been very careful about with not only Ronald but also Spencer Strider, not wanting to put an artificial timeline on it so that you set expectations and then you have to keep revisiting that timeline and people are like, okay, well, what's wrong with him? Well, there may be nothing wrong with him. They're just trying to give both of these guys the adequate amount of time to come back, be able to make an impact, and hopefully avoid setbacks, which is something that nobody wants to see, especially coming off that snake-bitten 2024 year.
Grant, as you just mentioned, the snake-bitten 2024 season, coming off of that, a rebound should be expected with the talent on this roster, but the 800-pound elephant in the room remains, and that is the lack of significant moves made by Alex Anthopoulos this offseason. From what you can tell, what do you project the Braves' plan to be?
I think there was a wait-and-see approach to this offseason, maybe more so than years past. But I can understand certainly the frustration of seeing other players and other deals happening, especially in the division when your rivals are getting better. When is something going to happen? I feel that the needs that the Braves have, to me, begins with starting pitcher. They wanted to try to address that. I think with Jeff Hoffman, that deal simply didn't come together because of medical. So you pivot to a few other targets. I feel like there are still some good free agents out there. And we all know about a year ago, Chris Sale was the guy that nobody was really talking about in trade rumors, and he became an Atlanta Brave. So you never know what deals might be coming into, you know, focus now that some of the other pieces have moved across the board and other various teams have made their moves. But I do feel starting pitcher, reliever, and an outfielder are things the Braves want to get done, and they'd like to have all of that this time a month from now when they report to Northport. So it's happening. It could happen quick, and that's kind of how Alex Anthopoulos moves, is not really letting everybody else know what's going on or when it's happening. The club just likes to announce it. They like to break their own news, so I'm hoping they break some soon.
Right, we had that conversation with AA as Grant McCauley joins us here, guys, and we were talking about Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson, you know, kind of battling for that fifth spot. And look, I like both guys, and I'm not trying to be negative, Nelly, but I mean, it's kind of time for Ian Anderson to grab the brass ring, right? Now, some of this is beyond his control with injuries. We thought we were going to see him last year, but he kind of stuck in Gwinnett, even with the injury.
Yeah, you would hope to see Ian get that opportunity to jump back in and hopefully impact the Major League rotation. But I can also understand that, you know, you want not only quantity but quality. Ian Anderson's case is also a little bit different because he's out of options. So the Braves have got to figure out what is his role in spring training, or they may have to make a difficult decision as far as roster construction is concerned, because they can't just send him right back down to AAA to sit there for another year. So that's one of those, I think, considerations. The Grant Holmes discussion really started back in just before the winter meetings. I asked Alex about replacing the 340 innings between Max Fried and Charlie Morton. He obviously talked about the deals that they could make, but then brought up Grant Holmes as somebody who's earned an opportunity. And I think we all know, and Brian Snitker said this at the winter meetings as well, we're going to use more than five starters this year. It happens every year, so we want as many guys who can help us as possible. That being said, there's a big difference between Ian Anderson, especially coming off of injury, and Grant Holmes, and the kind of innings that you were getting from Max Fried and Charlie Morton, and I think the Braves still need to address that.
All right, Grant, so you bring back my personal favorite, Jared Kelnick, on a one-year deal.
A one-man crusade to get Kelnick off the Braves.
Yeah, for three mil. You bring Brian De La Cruz on a minor league deal. If you had to project today what the starting outfield would look like if they don't make any more significant moves, how is it looking?
I mean, I feel like they have to make another significant move, because I can't imagine them going into the year with Michael Harris, Jared Kelnick, and Brian De La Cruz as their starting outfield. Not as plan A anyway. And I don't know if that means that you sign somebody, try to have them ready, you know, here in the next month, or you see what kind of players may get cut loose by other clubs. I know in 2019, the Braves didn't have Matt Joyce until the final week of spring training, and he was a huge part of that club that year. So you might still find that valuable role player. It may not be a big name, but I just don't see them rolling with the in-house options in waiting for Ronald Acuna Jr. to come back. They need to address it with at least some more quantity and quality in that depth.
Yeah, no, Grant, you said it, and we kind of got that vibe from Alex, not to put words in his mouth, but yeah, it could be, you know, one of those guys, pitchers and catchers have already reported, and there'll be somebody maybe even as late as March added to this roster.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with Adam Duvall a year ago, and that's just kind of the nature of it. I know Adam Duvall wasn't the guy in this latest, you know, stint with the Braves that he was that first time around, but first and second time around, he still was the kind of player that was fitting into, I feel like, what they were looking for from a depth perspective. But, you know, to go back to Chris's favorite player, Jared Kelnick, there were some times during the year that he did show, I feel like, what the Braves saw in him. But I feel also that you need to give him as much of an opportunity as you can to show what he's capable of, because you moved heaven and earth in a lot of ways to get him, taking on some bad money. You got to give him every opportunity to sink or swim, and I feel like that's going to be a big part of his 2025. He's either going to play his way into the plan, or conversely, and to the point, he could play his way out of the plan, and they may figure out somebody else. But you've got to find out what you have there, I believe.
Grant, before we let you go, with the loss of Jimenez, how's the back end of the bullpen looking?
Yeah, that's not only Joe Jimenez that you're losing for perhaps all of 2025, but A.J. Minter, still a free agent, so you don't have that arm that was about as dependable or valuable as you could get over the past few seasons. You've got one of the best closers in the game. You've got other good arms, and I think that you're going to be looking at Pierce Johnson to be a big part of the setup. And I think Dylan Lee could be the one who moves into the A.J. Minter role if they don't bring over another big arm to do some damage in the late innings, or to, you know, keep damage from happening, I guess, would probably be the better way to put it. But there has been a lot of talk about the Braves being a suitor for Tanner Scott. That would be a signing that would make a ton of sense. And I don't think it would necessarily break the bank in the kinds of huge record-setting contracts we've seen, but it would cost a pretty penny, and it might be worth every penny if you can have a lockdown bullpen. That's the kind of thing that helps you win, not only in the regular season, but as we've seen in 2021, that bullpen can be a driving force in October as well.
All right, Grant, thanks for participating in our daily download. The big story, Diego Tornes, a 16-year-old 5-tool player from Cuba who made his way out and is going to be a part of the Braves' future. Can't wait, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.